Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 15 and 16. And I'm going to read from the New International Version to you, and reads like this: "But just as he who called you is holy," everybody say, "God is holy." "So be holy in all you do." So the one who's called you, God, is holy. And it says, be holy as he is holy. "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." You know, that's a tall order for me. And I know me. And that's a tall order for any of us. You know, when you hear, "Be holy, for I am holy." You know, God speaking, not me. "Be holy, for I am holy." It's just like, you're holy, yes, but there is no way. I mean, I can do good for a while, and I can overcome a few things, and I rely on your help, but I know me. I'm gonna mess it up somewhere. I mean, it's not like I just gotta go out and rob a bank. I don't mean that, you know, but I may make some judgment, or I may begin to open up and collect some kind of attitude, or I might say something that's not holy. I might do something that wasn't holy. And so we look at God and we hear the message that he's holy. We have the impression that he's holy. We don't always know what holy means. We kind of draw some conclusions that God being holy, well, that means he never does anything wrong. Well, that's true. He doesn't. Him being holy is everything that is pure, untainted, without corruption, without flaw, perfect in every manner. He's pure. All things that are good. He's holy, and then I hear that I have to be like him. I want you to know that God's, through Jesus Christ and his shed blood and the forgiveness of sin, by his grace and his mercy, we can be forgiven of all our unholiness. But there's also an empowering of God's Spirit that we can continue in a holy life. Understand that. God is not just the God of wiping away our past. He's also the God that sustains us for the moment and for all the moments that are to come. That he can sustain us. And when we do something, whether it's an action or an inward attitude, something that is unholy, we know how to go to him who is holy and call on his grace and mercy to say, not only forgive me, but change me so that I don't go back to that. I want you to hear this. With God's help, you can become holy. Now turn to the person next to you and say, with God's help, even you can become holy. With God's help, even you can become holy. We think holiness has to do with obeying the rules. That's what we think. We think holiness has to do with obeying the rules. And we miss the foundation that upholds or empowers us to obey commands and rules and right living. Underneath that is that it has to come from the heart. Holiness is a heart issue. It's not an outward issue. It's not just an outward actions issue. It's first of all a heart issue. Jesus talked about this. He said, all of these things here, you know, any sexual immorality and all these things and sins and, you know, all this stuff. He says, that comes forth from the heart. Holiness is a heart issue. If we approach it as if, well, I just got to keep all the rules. It is so much easier, really, it is so much easier to obey the rules when our heart is in the right place. Put it to you this way. Remember back in school? Some of you don't have to remember too far back. Maybe there was a teacher you weren't real fond of. You didn't really care too much to obey the classroom rules because you didn't care for the teacher. But now do you remember the teacher who you were very fond of? I mean, it wasn't just a teacher. It's a teacher that you connected with, a teacher that kind of had, you know, a little bit of your heart. It was easier to obey the classroom rules because this teacher somehow, some way, won your heart over. They went the extra mile for you, or they acknowledged you, or they cared about you. You were more than just a student and a grade in their book. You see, it got to the heart. And with God, it's the same thing. Holiness has to do with the heart. And when the heart, when God is in our heart and He has our heart and we offer Him our heart, and God isn't just out there somewhere, but He's close and we know Him and have real relationship with Him and talk to Him and He talks to us and we read His Word and He speaks to us by His Spirit. And we begin to experience this wonderful relationship with Him. You know what? Holiness is not now just obeying rules. It comes from the heart, and it's so much easier. Oh, there's still challenges. I still got to discipline myself. I still got to grab me by the, you know, and say, get over here. There's still the disciplining. There's still the challenges. We feel the inclination of our sin nature to be drawn, but we discipline. And you know what? It's so much easier because having a relationship with Jesus is about a heart issue, not just an outward issue. And when He has our heart, the outward actions and words, all those things change. They begin to go through a process of change. Be holy as God is holy. You know, we think that holiness is about restraining ourselves from doing things wrong. And that's true. But holiness is not just about restraint. I got to live this holy and pure life. I got to not do anything wrong. I can't sin. I got to make sure my heart's clean. I just, you know, and that many times becomes our whole picture of holiness is don't do anything wrong. Holiness goes beyond just the restraint of not doing anything wrong. God did not call us to be holy like He is holy at that standard so that we can just make sure that I'm going through my day and I don't sin and I got to stay pure and I can't do anything wrong and I can't do anything wrong and I can't do anything wrong and I got to obey the rules. Certainly there's commands and there's obedience, no question. And we know that through relationship with Him, He wins our hearts, but holiness is so much greater than just not doing anything wrong. Holiness also has expression. Holiness has acts. Holiness moves us to do things. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about the priests, and they were set apart to be holy. Holy unto God, set apart to be holy unto Him. But they were also set apart not just to be holy unto Him, but to do holy things, to do expressions of holiness, to minister to God and before God in holiness. They were set apart. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2, next chapter over, verse 5, it says this. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. That's you and me. We are being built to be a holy priesthood. It's not just the pastor up front who's the priest. We are all priests. You look at verse 9 here in second chapter, it says this. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's not just the pastor, the priest, the minister's job to be holy and minister before God and set apart. It through Jesus Christ, the great high priest, He tore the veil that we could all approach God through Him. And that we are all called to be holy, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Turn to the person next to you now and say, just want you to know that you're a priest. And that the person you told is married, tell them to stay that way. All right? It's not like you got to change things. You're a holy royal priesthood. Oh, a holy nation. You are all priests unto God. Listen, you don't have to come to my office and say, okay, can I talk to you because I need you to go talk to God for me. I mean, I'm glad to do that, but I got news for you. You can go right to Him. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So if priests are supposed to be set apart and holy because He is holy, guess what? That's for all of us. Be holy as God is holy. And remember, it's not just about obeying the rules. It's about Him having our heart and giving our heart to Him. And things become easier to become like Him because He has your heart. Be holy as I am holy, He says. It's not just running around every day saying, make sure I don't sin and make sure, we want a discipline. We don't want to walk in sin. We know that. I'm not saying, oh, don't worry about that. I'm saying that's not all there is to holiness. Holiness has expression. He called His priests to be set apart unto God, but also set apart and be holy to minister before Him. Just a little side note. If you desire to minister and minister to people, little key, it helps to be holy. Now, holy, listen, our impression of holy, if we just think it's about obeying the rules and not about the heart, then we get real pious. That holiness looks really religious to us, really pious, and got it all together and all that kind of stuff. And do you know why it looks like that? Those who look like that, they're focused on the rules. And they want to check their list. And then when they're done, they feel pretty good about themselves. But the person who understands holiness and that it comes from the heart and the relationship with God, they understand it as by God's grace. They are saved through faith. And that He empowers through that relationship and having a hold of our heart that we can now begin to change life and be holy. And that as we do that, it empowers us to minister to people. If we have such a narrow scope of holiness, that it's making sure every day that we don't sin, and that's all holiness is, I want you to know that that is not holy. Because when it's holy, holiness has expression. They were set apart to do things unto God and for people. Let me use this example. Let me use marriage for a moment. And through Scripture, they use marriage sometimes as an example of a godly principle. Let's use it this way. Do you remember when you stood before the judge, or you came to church, or you were standing out in the park, and there was a minister there, and you stood there, and you looked into each other's eyes, and you held hands, and you exchanged rings, and you look in there, and you're doing the repeat after me, and you're saying the I do, or the I will, or you better. You know, however it came out at your wedding. Oh, and I will love you, and for better or for worse, and I'm going to care for you, and I'm going to put my preferences aside for the sake of your preferences. You know, all that I have is yours, including my boat, all my tree stands, if I can remember where I put them. I won't ask you to raise hands. How many of you have tree stands from last year out somewhere and you can't find them? You know, you go through all this stuff at your wedding. And I will forsake all others and give myself only unto you as long as we both shall live. And we go through that. And we're sincere and we're honest and we mean it in our blissful ignorance to some point. Because if you are young and you never were married before, you really don't know what you're signing up for. You don't. You hope and you believe, and there are some things we do understand, but there's a whole other part that unfolds. But we made that commitment and that pledge. And we look at it as, you know what? I'm going to be faithful. Now, if I were to say this phrase in here, marital unfaithfulness, right away, I know what you think. Adultery. One of you was with someone else that you're not married to. That's what you think of as marital unfaithfulness. See, faithfulness in marriage is so much more than just restraining yourself from adultery. Right? Being faithful in marriage is, yes, restraining yourself from adultery, but it's not just, oh, I don't want to sin, I don't want to make sin. It's also expressed, faithfulness is expressed in action. I will love you. I am going to care for your well-being. I am going to do something that brings you pleasure, even when you're a jerk. Because that's what I pledged before God and people. That even when you spoke wrongly to me, I'm still going to uphold my part, because I said I will love you for better and for worse. And this is one of the for worse, because you hurt me. See, marital faithfulness isn't just running around thinking, oh, I can't commit adultery. Oh, don't look, don't say, don't talk, don't, oh, oh. Marital unfaithfulness can show itself in other ways. Like, I'm not going to be gracious to you. I'm not going to really sacrifice all my preferences for you if you're not nice to me. See, there's more to faithfulness and unfaithfulness. It's the same thing with holiness. If we think holiness is just sitting around and closing ourselves in, making sure we don't sin, that is not holy. That is only a part of holiness. Holiness has expression. Holiness, the expression of, I will have compassion and I will serve. Not just, I don't want to sin. It moves us out of hiding and moves us to care for people, to serve people, to lay down our lives for people. Those are all holy acts. Just like in marriage, faithfulness. It's not just, I don't want to commit adultery. It's, I've got to nurture this relationship. I got to make it, I want to serve so faithfully that it'll be so hard for them to be unfaithful. See, we get this narrow scope of holiness. It's just don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. Holiness is so much more grand than just don't sin. By the way, hiding in a cave will not keep you from sinning. Do you know why? Because you're still there. Right? You don't have to see something evil to sin. You can have, a blind person knows how to sin. Hiding isn't going to do it. It's about a heart relationship with Him that we continue to walk in because we love Him and He loves us, that we continue to change and become like Him in holiness, in purity, in judging ourselves, examining ourselves. But it also has an expression that moves us in holy acts, acts of love and kindness, decisions we make that reflect Him and glorify Him because we are to become like Him. Do you want a really clear picture on how to live life holy? Yes. Okay, well, let me tell you. Read the Gospels and look at Jesus. He was holy. He didn't sin. But He wasn't out hiding and running around going, I can't sin, I can't sin. I'm going to go to the car. I can't sin. Oh, I got to restrain myself. Oh, I can't sin. No, no. Holiness had expression. And it wasn't fear-based. It was love-based. A love for the Father and a love for people. And holiness was expressed in healing, truth, instruction, kindness, receiving children, standing for what's right in the face of wrong, being humble. The Son of God, and yet He had a man baptize Him in water. All of it expressions of holiness. So we've got to get holiness into our mind and into our heart, that it is more than just I cannot sin. It's the expression of holiness when it reigns in our heart, when He reigns in our heart, and we look at who God is, and we want to be like Him. We're called to be like Him. We're supposed to be a living church. Living, visible, breathing, active. But all in a way that reflects who He is and what He's like. So when you hear the old Bible term of holiness, before you quickly move into self-condemnation or say, oh yeah, I'll never make it. Or there goes the church, they're just going to condemn me and judge me again. No. Holiness has to do with the heart. Giving our heart to the Lord. Allowing Him to work in us, and then understanding it's not spending our days trying to stay and restrain ourselves from sin, and that's our whole focus. That's not holiness. It's only a part of holiness. The fullness of holiness is the restraint from sin, yes, but the activity and the release of doing holy things. The other night, I was walking down the street from the house, and I walked by a couple of individuals. One was sitting in a doorway, and one was on a cell phone on a sidewalk, and this was after dark, and I was walking down the street to get supper because some of you have been around here know that we are in the process of moving out of our home because we close on it tomorrow and we moved into a rental house that's close to downtown. Well, in the middle of move, I was going to buy us dinner because I did not want to get a box thrown at me in the back of my head when I said, "So Sue, what's for dinner?" So I was walking about a block away to downtown, felt energetic even after the move. I would have felt really guilty driving about three quarters of a block to go pick up food. And was walking, it was after dark, and walked by these people, and then I heard a voice, "Sir, sir." And I turned around and walked back, and this young adult woman who was on the phone when I walked by came over and began to talk to me and tell me about her need. Whether it was real or it was a story or it was a lie to get money, frankly, it really didn't matter to me. If you were to look at what she was representing and how she looked without making a pure and final judgment, that's God's business. I just knew things were difficult for her. That's all I knew. Things were difficult for her. And probably along the way, she made some less than desirable choices. But you know what? I have compassion on that because I've made plenty. Maybe not the same choices she was making, but you know what? They still aren't correct. And I didn't care, frankly, if she was giving me a story or part of it was true or it was all a lie just to get the $25. It didn't matter. I'll be honest with you, it just didn't matter. I couldn't say, "Well, you don't appear to be too holy, so I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to hear your request." Or, "Oh, gee, it's after dark and the streetlights are on and I'm by myself and I'm talking to a young woman on the street." Right about now is probably when one of those church people drive by. I had just a little glimpse of what Jesus may have felt. It's not the first time. What is the holy thing to do? Judge her? Condemn her? Say, "Hold off on the $25. Let me run home. I got a really nice stone in my front yard." Remember that story? They all showed up with stones, the stone the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus says, "Those of you who are without sin, cast the first stone." They all walked back home with their stones. And Jesus says, "Where's your accusers?" I can't tell you that I led her to the Lord, but I'll tell you this. I sure pointed to him. I even prayed with her. Yeah, not a pat on the back. And yeah, I didn't pray for her only. I'll just tell you, I gave her $25. You can call me stupid or whatever you want, because the reality is I gave it to God, not really to her. She doesn't know that. Maybe the $25 really was for medication. Maybe the $25 was for food. Maybe the $25 was for alcohol. Maybe the $25 was to get her fix. I don't know. I don't know. I do not know. All I know is that she really was in some kind of need and trouble. And I knew that the $25 wasn't going to fix the real trouble anyhow. Whatever it was spent for. All I know is that moment, as I was going to try to, my best with God's help, to be holy like Jesus was. What did he do? What did he do? I mean, it almost made me uncomfortable, but not quite, when I said, before I give this, I do want to pray with you. Because if you're really going into surgery, or whether you're not, I want the Lord to minister and touch you. And I just kind of was going to begin to pray. And Jim, I just put my hand up to pray like this, and she's standing here. Next thing I know, she's snuggling in by me and putting her arms around me. Oh, no, oh, no. Now is when the deacons drive by. Not just the church member, but the deacons are... That wasn't Sue. Lock them up. I'll tell you what, I really didn't bat an eye. Because I was just going to pray for her and give her the $25. And then afterwards tell her who I am and where she can find me if she needs help. And I pointed over here. And I'm not telling you that to say, oh, look at how righteous I am or anything like that. That's not the point. It's that holiness, according to what the religious leaders thought in the Bible, was when you saw this, you, oh, that woman, you know what kind of, if you were a prophet, you'd know what kind of woman is touching you. Or walk on the other side of the street to avoid. That's not what Jesus did. See, holiness is not just hiding and making judgments and just, and don't say again. That's only a part of holiness. And it's not true holiness until that holiness moves you to do holy acts. So if we're to be holy like God is holy, yeah, we're to obey him because we give our heart to him. And there are commands and there are rules and there are things to obey, and I don't apologize for them. But holiness is not about just rules. If that's your view of holiness, I'm going to tell you something. You have not been with Jesus. I don't care how much you've prayed. But if that is your whole view of holiness, you don't know Jesus. You really don't know him. Because you will find out that, yes, the heart and the obeying is absolute. But another absolute is that holiness moves you to be set apart to do holy, sacred acts of kindness, things that please him and really show who he is.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.